Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon today comes from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For the Sunday after Christmas, we actually have three options as far as saints we could talk about in the Saints of Advent and Now Christmas sermon series. December 26th is the commemoration for St. Stephen, the first martyr, the deacon who was stoned to death for his confession of Christ immediately before the beginning of the persecution carried out by a young Jewish rabbi named Saul of Tarsus, known to us as St. Paul. December 28th, tomorrow, is the commemoration of the Holy Innocents, the boys of Bethlehem 2 years old and younger, who were murdered by King Herod in his vain attempt to snuff out the newborn Christ before he could grow to challenge Herod's authority. But today is the commemoration for St. John, the beloved disciple. And what better way to continue our celebration of Christmas than by talking about the beloved disciple and thus about God's love for us? Now, this command that John gives us in his epistle to love one another is actually something that comes up over and over again in John's gospel and everything that he wrote. Variations of the word love appear 116 times between the gospel, the three epistles, and the book of Revelation. John 13, verses 34 and 35 is just one example. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's four times in two verses. Or John 14, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Or just getting right down to brass tacks, John 15, verse 9, abide in my love. 1 John 2, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Love is kind of a big deal for John. And for that matter, for Jesus. John tells us here that if you claim to love God, you should love your brothers. And in fact, he says that if you don't love your brothers, those who are around you, whom you see, you can't then claim to love God, whom you don't see. This actually makes sense. We can't see God, but we can see those around us. And so for us, love for God is a pretty abstract concept. I love God, but I don't really see him. And I don't have those opportunities to show love to God directly. Yes, worship, yes, prayer. But it is far more concrete to show love to those whom you see, those around you, your brothers. And after all, Christmas is a season of love, so love should be easy for us, especially right now. But what about the times when love isn't so easy? What about when you fight with your kids or with your spouse or with your parents? what about when you and the neighbor get into it over how you're mowing your lawn? What about when a coworker skips out on work, leaving you in the lurch to work overtime or have to do extra? Or what about when you were shopping for Christmas presents last month and another shopper bought the very last of exactly what you were looking for and you started cussing them out? Your love isn't always so easy. And yet God's love for us is so much greater than any of our failures to show love. You know, one of the questions that I get the most from my religion students is why God allowed Adam and Eve to sin. This is one of those questions that we really don't have an answer to. He loves us, but we can say that he loves us so much that he wanted to create us, even knowing that we would hurt him, even knowing that Adam and Eve would hurt him and fail and fall, and he would be hurt to redeem them. He loved them to create them. He wanted Adam and Eve to have that choice of loving him freely in return, which is why they also had the choice to sin. Even though he knew that man would rebel, he created man anyways. That is how powerful God's love is, and that love was demonstrated all the more clearly when he sent his son to be born that first Christmas. He knew that Jesus would suffer. He knew that Jesus would be opposed throughout his life. The holy innocents, the boys of Bethlehem who were murdered by Herod's troops, were just the first example of the world's rage and hatred toward Jesus. God knew that Jesus would be opposed, that he would be hurt. He knew that Jesus would ultimately be killed. And yet, despite knowing all of this, he accepted that price. He accepted that cost for our redemption. Jesus loves us so much that he willingly accepted all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of it on your behalf. Jesus willingly took on the weakness and frailty of human flesh for you. By comparison to that love that God has shown to us, our love that we show to others is a pale comparison. And so we love our neighbors not because we have to, but because God has loved us first. Our love for them isn't as great as God's love for us. It is simply a response to God's love. In gratitude for the blessings that God has given to us, we share those blessings with those in need. In gratitude for the food we have, we feed the hungry. In gratitude for the great service that God has done to us in sending his son, we serve others. In gratitude for the faith that God has given to us, we share that faith with those who do not know the great works of God. We cannot see God, but we can see our neighbor. And so when we show love to the neighbor that we see, we are showing our love to God whom we don't see thereby. Jesus says in the parable of the sheep and the goats, "Whatever you do for the least of these, my brothers, you do it for me." This means that when we are serving those in need, the brother we can see, it is a way of showing the genuineness of our love for God. The love we show for a brother isn't what saves us or them, of course. Jesus saved us by his action, by his love for us. His perfect human life supplants all of those times that we fail to love. His perfect human death atones for all of our sinful selfishness. No, our love doesn't save us, but it can show God's love to those who don't know it. God loves you. What an incredible message for us to hear 2 days after Christmas, one of the greatest examples of the love God has for us. Love which impelled our all-powerful God to take on human weakness. Love which impelled the creator of the universe to enter his creation. love which impelled our heavenly Father to send his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love which we will receive physically in, with, and under the bread and wine of Holy Communion. Love which we have the privilege of sharing with one another. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.